Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. All right. Amen. And we are opening our Bibles this morning to the 21st chapter of the book of Luke, beginning with verse 25. And I would like to preface this message, of course, with just a few comments, but even before I make those, I'd like to pray one more time, especially for the word, that we would have our hearts open and receive it. Amen. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for thy word. We stand in awe as we open these pages together. I pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst move upon us with the power of the Holy Ghost, that thou wouldst strengthen us, Lord, and help us to receive thy word. Give us faith in our hearts. Without thee, we can do nothing. And so we reach out to thee this morning, O Lord, this day that thou hast made, and ask, O God, that thou wouldst speak to us and move upon us, O Lord, with thy greatness and strength. Help us, O Lord, to have ears to hear and a great hunger and thirst for righteousness. Be thou with us, I pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. We also come against every devil and every unclean spirit and every force of darkness, every hindering power. We break every hex, vex, and curse and everything connected with this evil day that the people are celebrating as Halloween or as Samhain, these things that they do, the spells, the incantations, the rituals, let all of them come to naught. I pray that thou wouldst discomfit the enemy, that thou wouldst break the power, break the supply line of evil from the evil spirits unto the witches. I pray that thou wouldst bring them to shame. O Lord, bring them to repentance if thou wouldst call them. But O Lord, we come against all that they do in the name of Jesus and through the power of the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And here are our dear friends from Iowa. God bless you. The Titus family. Amen. Praise the Lord. You made it. All right. Quite a drive, isn't it? Glory to God. We are opening this morning to the book of Luke chapter 21. And we're going to verse 25. And I would like to preface this by saying just a few things. As I look at the world today, I could get very distressed. But for some reason, I don't. And I know what the reason is. It's because God has put faith in my heart, and I trust he's put faith in your heart. And that faith gets stronger and stronger as we see the signs unfold. Now, what amazes me, though, as I look around and I realize that Jesus made two things very clear. It amazes me that people can't see what's happening. Because two things that are characteristic of the last days, the time in which we live, there are two predominant things that will manifest. One is there will be many signs. Jesus said there will be many signs of his coming. And there are. The other is that people will be completely unaware that when he comes, it will catch them off guard, that they will not be looking for him, even though the many signs are unfolding. The more the signs unfold, the more unaware they become. And so we're going to call this message Fatal Unawareness. And I would like to begin with that 25th verse of Luke 21, and let's see where the Lord takes this. Because frankly, I don't know. And you may think, well, that's those of you that know me understand what I'm saying. But in case you're hearing a tape for the first time, I'm not a noted speaker. I have no notes. I have no preparation other than I've prepared my heart to receive what the Lord would say and what his word would bring forth. And so I really don't know what I'm going to say next, not from one sentence to the next. And I just trust God that he will bring this forth and help us. I have a great burden in my heart for the word. When the Lord gives me a message, it's very weighty and heavy upon me. And I take it very seriously because I'm not up here to perform for anyone. I'm not here to make anybody feel good or bad. I'm just here to deliver the word of God. And let's see what the Spirit of the Lord does with it in your heart. Because we all receive it individually and I venture to say differently. There are times when I preached and somebody came back and said, you know, you really got to me when you said this or that or whatever it was. And I know for a fact I never mentioned it. But God did in their heart. He was doing something in their hearts I didn't even know about. And so we have to be on the receiving end of this and see what the Spirit of the Lord would say from heaven. And the way that we do that is we meet the Lord in the pages of His book. There we find Him. Sometimes people wonder, how can I really be close to God? How can I be filled with His Spirit? And there is something that you can physically do that will produce a spiritual result. Fill your heart with His Word, because where His Word is, there His Spirit will be. So the ball's in your court. Amen. To use an old cliche. But I think you understand what I'm saying. So, verse 25, Jesus said, and these are the very words of the Son of God Himself, and there shall be signs. You recall my comments just a moment ago that Jesus said there would be many signs in the last days. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Now, while these signs are happening up there, upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Oh, I look around, folks, and my attention is arrested when I compare the current events with this single verse. Even with what we have read thus far, it seems like Japan is having an earthquake about every week, at least one. And they just had another one a few days ago. And now we've had one in Eastern Europe just a couple of days ago. And we're talking about earthquakes magnitude 6 or above. In fact, in Japan, I believe it was 6.8, just north of Tokyo. A lot of damage. It was a killer situation. But that's just one thing that's going on. You know, you look at the signs in the sky. We just had an interesting little event here last Wednesday night. We weren't able to watch it because it was too cloudy. But there was the full hunter's moon. And if you look into folklore, you'll find it was also called the full blood moon, which I think is rather profound, considering what the scripture says and considering the time of the year. Now, of course, that was on the 27th. This is the 31st. This is a witch's Sabbath. This is a day when all the covens all over the United States and those fellow travelers, you know what I mean by a fellow traveler? We used to use that terminology with communism when they still had that word out in usage. And incidentally, there still is such a thing as communism. And the majority of it is over here. I don't know if you figured that out yet. They just haven't told you yet. But communism really is here in the United States of America. We have all the different components of communism right here. But the fellow traveler was someone who just kind of went along with it, who didn't come against it and therefore supported it or was sympathetic toward it. And in witchcraft, there's a whole lot of that because churches have embraced witchcraft. They have embraced all of this material fed to them, such as Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and on, all kinds of things like that. That brings about a very evil effect. It has no place in any church that calls itself Christian. Neither does any celebration of Halloween or parties or doing anything on this day that would show you are in some way traveling along with this wicked world. But witches aren't just off in a coven somewhere under an oak tree. They're all through our towns and cities. And people have embraced the doctrine of it, and they don't call it witchcraft. Some would be so bold as to call it New Age and think it's a wonderful thing. And of course, there are many forms of it. It's kind of interesting. The astrologers over in India are predicting that according to the stars, according to all the occult patterns, that John Kerry is going to be elected. And of course, there is a big swell of support for John Kerry. I was in Madison on Thursday, I had to go to the bank down there on the square, and I just kind of hesitated. I needed to go, but I hesitated because Carrie was going to be there, and I didn't know where they were going to put him. I thought, if they put him on the square where the Capitol is, I'll never get out, maybe not even get in. But I was more concerned about getting out. So I drove in there, and there were all kinds of parking because they put him down near Henry Street off from West Washington. So he was off the square. I have always thought he was a little bit off anyway. But I went over and took care of my banking and so forth. But what I noticed is throngs of people, hordes of people. The streets were full of people. The square was covered with, it was a sea of human heads all heading toward West Washington. And they were holding their signs up, you know, pro-abortion and kill the babies kind of thing and all of that. I couldn't believe it, how bold some people are. And then I looked up at the dome of the Capitol, and about 150 feet in the air, I saw this big kite. It looked like a kite. It was blue and white, and it was tethered to the Capitol. So I knew it wasn't somebody flying a kite. It was too big for that anyway. Upon closer examination, it was a surveillance system. It was there. They were able to watch. They put a little helium in it and let it just blow in the wind, and they watch everything all around. Secret Service was using it. Secret Service agents up and down the street, you can always tell these guys. They wear a little wire, you know, a little thing by their ear, and talking all the time. It looks like they're, you know, talking to nobody or talking to themselves. And everything was just that. The whole feeling there was just evil, evil, evil. You could almost cut it with a knife. It was just thick. And I thought, boy, something's going to give here. Because if this feeling that I'm feeling here is all through this country, and we've got all of these signs around here, even signs in the sky, that eclipse of the moon on the 27th, an eclipse of the full blood moon. Those that were able to see it would be able to see a blood red ring around the edge of the moon as the earth's shadow was projected onto the moon's surface. The reason you see that ring around the edge is the moon is picking up the earth's sunrise and sunset simultaneously. And that's why you see it. But here it was the 27th, and the next day I went down, there was Carrie, and you could just feel that evil there. And then on Friday, the 29th, that's an interesting day, because 29, 2 and 9 is 11, which is the occult number of the age of Aquarius, the Aquarian number, and they play with numbers. I don't. I just call attention to the fact that they do. And so the 29th is rather interesting because that was the day that the United States of Europe officially came into being, midway between the full blood moon, or full hunter's moon, and by the way, hunter there doesn't mean hunters of animals, it means hunters of souls. It comes from the Celts back in England, the horned hunter of the night, Kernos, or Cornunos, or Kronos, as he was called by the Norse, from which we get the word chronology, chronological, and so forth, keeper of time. He's also known as Father Time or Santa Claus, the Oak God, all right? The Holly King, all these different names he's known by. So there's all that witchcraft out there. But they chose that day, the 29th, midway between that eclipse of the moon. And by the way, an eclipse of the moon means that there's a change in leadership, according to the occult, all right? And then, I got so much to tell you, I can't get it all through my vocal cords. You know, I turned the radio on the other day, and they said, we may well know the results of the election before the election. Well, that perked me up. I thought, now what are they going to say? And what they said is, they said that every year, every election year since 1934, and think about that, that every election, presidential election since then, you ready for this? When the Washington Redskins, the football team, when they play, if they win the game closest to the election, the incumbent stays. If they lose, then the opponent wins. Today, the Green Bay Packers are playing the Washington Redskins out there, out east. And if the Packers win, according to that they believe it's some kind of a spirit, they look at it spiritually. You see? If the Packers win, then Kerry will win. That's been going on ever since 1934. It's always been accurate. So we'll see what happens. I make no projection on that. I'm just saying, I'm throwing that out there. You can chew on it if you want to. But I turned the radio on, I heard that, I thought, oh boy, here's another one. And I know everything out there is rigged anyway. But it's kind of interesting how they choreograph these things and put them together. So anyway, on the 29th, the Constitution of the European Union was signed. What a day they picked for it, midway between that full hunter's or blood moon and Halloween. So that means officially we have a United States of Europe. Now they were drawn together by currency earlier than that because the euro, which is headquartered at Frankfurt am Main, the old Rothschild banking headquarters, that euro has literally taken over all of Europe. Ever since it has, the dollar has been faltering. Now we have reached a situation where the Soviet Union has officially announced they are refusing to support the U.S. dollar. They don't want it anymore. Well, I say Soviet Union because it really is de facto. It's really Russia. And, of course, we have Rasputin, Putin in there, who is trying to pull the strings and push the buttons and make everything happen. And he's all part of the same club. But in addition to that, China is threatening to refuse the U.S. dollar. And we're so indebted to China that if that happens, our dollar is projected to go down to 10 cents on its dollar value, which would totally collapse our economy. And one of the rules of economics is that no government has ever outlived its economy, never in all of history. That when the economy goes, so does the government, and a new one rises in its place. And with all the electronics, of course, at the disposal of these Illuminists, you can just imagine what they would do. But that's kind of where we're at. Are there any signs anywhere that anything's going on? Huh? Anything going on out there? Most people don't think so. Most people think they can go down and push a little button or do the whatever they have to do electronically or push this little thing through a card and they're going to change the course of our nation. That John Kerry, well, of course, what did Edward say about Kerry? When we are elected, the lame will walk, the blind will see. Stem cell research, right? And John Kerry voted 6 times to support partial birth abortion. And I'm not going to describe the procedure to you because it's just too grotesque and too vile. But it's a terrible, terrible thing. So who has the answer? Well, I know the one who does. Now they tell you, vote your conscience. If this country votes its conscience, Kerry will probably win. That's because people have become so corrupted and so vile and so undiscerning that they think that anything else that comes along, overlooking the few little negatives that they might find, they move on ahead being manipulated by a spiritual power. And, of course, that spiritual power manifests through people and organizations and so forth. But people are very quickly and easily controlled. Oh, there are some signs around, aren't there? And then, of course, this being Halloween, the witch's Sabbath, they're all going to be out there going berserk under the oak trees tonight, doing their rituals and all that kind of stuff. And we have prayed against them. And I'll tell you what, I believe God's going to discomfort them. They're going to have trouble. They struggle and struggle. They hate a praying Christian. They love the phony ones, like Dr. James Dobson and his organization that get up and tell you it's time. Now, he had 2 women come on his program, one of his programs. It wasn't him personally talking with them, but it's his organization, his program. He's responsible for it. And 2 women came on, and they're defending Halloween. They claim to be Christians. They said Christians should take it back. It was never theirs. Take it back? I don't want it. And our Christians ought to have the best celebrations, give out the biggest candy bars, you know, to show that this is Christian. Huh? Instead of a jack-o'-lantern, they've got a Jesus-o'-lantern. where they go out and they get a negative photo. They take a picture of what's supposed to be Jesus, and by the way, we don't know what he looked like. God didn't tell us what he looked like. The reason God didn't tell us what he looked like is God knew if we knew, we'd make pictures. But they did it anyway. And what this they tell you to do, this is done in Sunday schools. The Baptists are really into this. But a lot of different churches are doing this. They say, take a picture of Jesus, take the negative, you know, enlarge it, get an enlarged negative, put it on a pumpkin with little, you know, push pins, and then carve out all the white areas, just kind of peel the skin off the white areas of the pumpkin. And then, of course, you know, cut some holes in it and put a candle in there, and then it's a Jesus lantern. And then they say, take the negative and close your eyes, look at it for 30 seconds, and close your eyes and then look at a white wall and you'll see Jesus on the wall. Huh? Those pictures that they make with that long flowing hair, effeminate hair and all that, that's the Antichrist. That's not Jesus. He is, what does the Bible say? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. Invisible. The only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but this is what they're telling children to do. And so then we've got this to contend with in spiritual battle, but we'll do it. And then comes All Saints Day tomorrow. And then comes Election Day, which is All Souls Day. Horned Hunter of the Night. Hunting for what? It's really amazing how they lay this all out. What a week! What a stretch! But really, the Lord said there would be signs for us to watch for, and we're getting an abundance of them. That's one thing he made clear. You will know it's the last days because there's going to be a lot of things happen that will show you it's the last days. I turned on the radio this morning and I found out that yesterday Iran, not Iraq, but Iran, came together, the government, their governing power came together, and they voted to begin the manufacture of high-powered nuclear weapons. And they said, as they concluded the meeting, death to America. That's Iran. You know why they're reacting like that? They know they're next. And they're doing the only thing they can do. And I'm not supporting them. None of that is my battle. Jesus said these things would come to pass. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. But Iran is a bigger country than Iraq. Iran is more advanced than Iraq. And Iran will not hesitate to use nuclear weapons. So they've got these mushroom clouds to play with. You know, fearful sights. What's going to happen next? We can't maintain Iraq. It's a mess over there. It's completely out of hand. Afghanistan's completely out of hand. Are we going to go in and get another one? Are we going to do what Dick Cheney said and go into 50 more nations? Where are you going to get the manpower for that? And now they're saying they want citizen soldiers here in this country to work in conjunction with NATO forces because our National Guard can't be here. They've got to be over there. What it is they have put together a one-world army, a one-world navy. And now the British Navy has given permission, in fact, full endorsement, for Satanists to practice satanic rituals on board His Majesty's ships. They have a number of Satanists, satanic high priests, that are in the British Navy, and the Navy has endorsed them to worship Satan on board their ships. Now, what do you got here? But there's not no signs. I mean, nothing to indicate anything is wrong, right? So, the Bible says that there would be these signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and so forth, and then on the earth, distress of nations. Oh, we are in distress. And so are a lot of other ones. with perplexity. There you come to that Greek word aporia, unable to find a way out. What is the way out? Huh? Well, praise the Lord, it isn't John Kerry, it isn't George Bush. In fact, neither one is an option, but we'll probably end up with one of them. Leading this nation. But it is a perplexing situation, isn't it? The sea and the waves roaring. Now, there is metaphor there. We've seen some roaring waves, and we've seen a churning sea all over the place. Of course, we've had these hurricanes. Florida knows about it. You can go down there today and see all the houses with blue roofs, tarp, plastic covers. They know about it. They know there's something to be concerned about. But all over the world, there have been disasters, volcanoes all coming alive at the same time, earthquakes rattling the earth, shaking the earth. This earth is reeling to and fro like a drunkard, just like Isaiah said it would. But in addition to that, there's metaphor because the sea, according to Revelation 17, the sea is all the kindreds and nations and tongues and people. And there's an upset among the people. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, there's two ways you can look at that. I think both accurately. Now, when it says men's hearts failing them for fear, I don't see that it specifically means the old ticker, although that is happening. But what is the heart of man, if you read the scripture? It's his mind, his will, and his emotions. All right? That gets a little interesting, too. Mind, will, and emotions. That makes me think of the Wizard of Oz. How does that make me think of the Wizard of Oz? I think of the lion and the scarecrow and the tin man. Remember? And, of course, what did the scarecrow want? A brain. If I only had a brain. Huh? I'd unravel every riddle of every individual. Remember? In trouble or in pain, da 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 da, you know, and so forth. But anyway, he wanted a brain. Didn't have one. And then, of course, the Tin Man wanted a heart. He didn't have one. And the lion wanted courage. He didn't have any. You know, the Illuminati put that whole thing together way back there. Just after the stock market crash, which, by the way, was in the year of 29 on the 29th. There's a couple more 11s for you. Just like that 29th is when the European Union came into being. They play with numbers. It's their religion. But that was to show what they were going to do to the American people. They were going to produce a people that were supposed to pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The dog was smart, the smartest one in the whole show. Right? Not supposed to pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. They were going to produce a people in this country that have no heart, no brain, and no courage. And believe you me, they have done it. Who will rise up? You can say all you want about the Illuminati, the different conspiracies going on, all the little ones that pinwheel off from it and feed the big one. You can go through all of that. You can read books. You can write books. You can chart it out, whatever you want. The ones really at fault, that are at fault, are the people who did nothing about it and just went along with it. And when the freedoms were taken away, they just went along with it. And went along with it, 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 and pretty soon that was the end of it. That's the problem. People used to have some fight in them. They used to be able to think, to really be able to reason things out. Now they don't care. If the Packers win, that's all that matters. Huh? Pretzels, a six-pack, and the Green Bay Packers. That's their world. I had a brother-in-law that used to be able to kill a six-pack during an instant replay. That's all he lived for. You know, no matter what happens, people are going to run to the game, or you know, they're going to go after this stuff because it's their world. It's been laid out for them. They don't want any interruptions. They don't want to be told something bad is happening. You know, they have this blind optimism. Everything's going to be all right, but without Jesus. And that's impossible. With him and through him, all things are possible. He's the God of heaven. But there is no other way. None whatsoever. And so though there be so many signs, people are going to become more and more blind as time goes on. And you've got to stop and wonder, how can this be? Well, let's read on and see what Jesus said. He told us then that the powers of heaven would be shaken, and then he went on to say, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Oh, what a wonderful day that'll be. So, a lot of signs, and then his coming. But now watch the admonition here. And when these things begin, watch that word, begin. Have they begun? When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, if we had, let's say for an example, the Empire State Building came down. Terrorists, they blame it on terrorists. Of course, it's planned, you know, at 58 East 68th Street, but they blame it on terrorists. Let's say that that old building came down and maybe took St. Patrick's Cathedral out with it and the Tishman Building and a few places around it. Let's say that all came down. This place would be full. It'd be standing room only the next service. Martial law declared. Constitution suspended. Standing room only. I'm going to tell you something. You know, the Lord told us, and I preached this a while back, not long ago, that we need to have not only lamps, but extra oil. We can't come in after at the last minute, last end of big disasters happen, then come in and expect to instantly be spiritual. It's something you maintain, you keep it up, you keep your prayer life up. You know, they told Daniel, they told everybody in Medo-Persia, you can't make any petition to any god, only to the king. Remember the decree? But Daniel prayed three times a day. But you know what? Daniel always prayed three times a day, long before that decree ever came along. He didn't say, oh, the decree, now I'm going to defy it. Now I'll pray. No. He always prayed. He just kept doing what he always had done. And then when he got to the lions, they had to shut their mouths. Because God gave them no power to destroy him. This old, old man, he was very old by that time, down in the lion's den, and he came out alive and untouched. And I believe that's an example to us that we maintain our spirituality, we maintain our prayer life, we don't make plans to suddenly be super spiritual at the very end when things start to really come down. Because it's going to come real fast. And it's going to be a real challenge. You have to be ready for that before it happens. Now, God gives grace, I know. But don't count on it. Don't count on last minute, being a last minute super spiritual hero. Maintain it. Have a walk with God today. Besides, we don't even know what tomorrow holds. There may not be another election. But we walk with him by faith every day. None of us, neither I nor you, are promised tomorrow. But the good news is all of us are promised today. Now is the appointed time. Now, N-O-W, now is the day of salvation. That's why you go over to Hebrews 11, and what does it start out with? It starts in a very peculiar way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What kind of faith? Now. Now. Now faith. Now faith. Some people thought that's just a word they threw in there, you know. There are no wasted words in the Bible. Everyone came from the mouth of God. Every one of them came from his very throne. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, back here in Luke again, once again, chapter 21, we are cautioned, and Jesus said in verse 29, and he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Now, if you can do that, if you can look at the trees and tell the season of the year, shouldn't we be discerning enough to be able to look at the signs and tell that it is the time of the Lord's coming? Jesus asked the question of the Pharisees one time. How is it that you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern this time? So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know. The Lord is saying, know, ye, that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Start thinking about it being now. Not 100 years off, 1,000 years off. We don't say my Lord delayeth his coming. Because we're told that when you begin to say things like that, your behavior changes. And when your behavior changes, he's going to come, you're going to begin to eat and drink with the drunken. You're going to start to look at things the way the world looks at things. It's going to be one way or the other. Either you're going to look for his coming to be at hand, or you're going to look at it like the world looks at it. Plenty of time. Big life in front of me. But what did the Lord say about that? Go back a couple of pages with me to Luke 17, and I'll show you what he said about that. He said, in Luke 17:22, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. No secret rapture. Right? When it happens, everybody's going to know it, and almost nobody is going to like it. In fact, the scripture says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Or as we say in German, mit heulen und Zähne klappen. Howling and knocking together of the teeth or grinding of the teeth. All right? Can you imagine these baby-killing liberal people with minds full of fornication, wickedness, adultery, all that, and then the Lord appears in the sky? All the injustice in the governmental institutions and so forth, and the Lord comes? Oh, it's going to be something. Who shall be able to stand? So, the Lord said, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And of course he was. And he did suffer those things. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank. Notice that. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day. Normalcy didn't cease. Until the day, it says, that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, and oh, such could be said there. The characteristics of that city of Sodom and likewise of Gomorrah was one of homosexuality and all of that kind of crazy stuff going on. And you know, when we have a nation with our officials marching with these little pansy boys and these dyke women and so forth up and down the streets and parading it right out there in the middle of the cities. And people say, well, that's all right. They got a right to express themselves. That's okay. A parade of sin. That's Sodom. That's Gomorrah. Hey, hello. Huh? And you have these churches. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has a summer camp for homosexuals. Now, what's going on here? The Assembly of God churches in Australia have Christian nightclubs with Christian dancing. And all you do is take anything you want to do and put the word Christian in front of it. But I'll tell you what, it's pretty hollow. And it's not Christian at all. It is just absolutely amazing what people are doing. And they think that they have this strange power to transform evil into something acceptable and bring it in the church. There are some things that are detestable to God. And if you have something detestable to God and you try to make it acceptable, you know what you do? You make it even more detestable to God. As the Lord said of his people, they did worse than the heathen. Why? You'd expect it of the heathen and of the pagans, but you wouldn't expect it of the Christians. So, he said the flood came and destroyed them all, and then he said in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Do we hear it? Do we see it? Do we understand it? Let's go back to 21. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus said in verse 32, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves." Now watch, here's the Lord talking to us. "Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life." All right? Surfeiting is carousing around, in case you didn't know that. A heart that is overcharged. And then, of course, surfeiting, drunkenness. There's many kinds of drunkenness. Cares of this life. See, that's the devil's job, to throw a lot of cares on you. You know what you do when that happens? When the devil throws cares on you? You listen to the one who said, "Cast your care upon me. I care for you." That's when you let the Lord carry it. There's nothing you can do anyway. Nothing. But the Lord can do all things, so why not trust him? And here's the verse 35 that says, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy." You'll never be worthy, but you can be accounted worthy through the blood. Who here is worthy of heaven? None of us. But can we be accounted worthy by the saving power of Jesus Christ, who said, "It is finished," and accomplished what he came to do? "That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." In other words, the Lord has promised here that you will escape. Some people think they're going to go flying off ahead of time. But God has a way of preserving us, and we can escape these things. Because remember something, those powers out there are blind to the things of God. If you are the people of God, they're going to be blind to you. The beast power can't see you, can't understand you. They can't figure out what you're doing. And God is able to make them blind to you and preserve you from their attacks. Because they don't see the things of God. So be in the will of God. Stay close to God. They'll go right past you. Huh? They go right past your place. Go to the next one. They don't see. That's why they don't see the signs. I mean, if you've got an attacker that's stone blind, you got a good chance of avoiding him. And they are, to the things of God. So if you walk in the Spirit, Jesus told us that. Didn't he say that? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Praise the Lord. But notice what he says. here. He says, as a snare. For as a snare shall it come. And you think of a snare being set out, a trap, a snare, and an animal coming along, and the only thing on that animal's mind is the bait that's sitting there, right? Not thinking about anything else. I want to eat. And he goes to eat, or the bird flies in to eat, and whoosh, traps him. What are people concerned with today? Huh? I want to eat. I want good things. I want to be satiated with all the wonderful things I can get. And they're looking at the bait that is being set out there. They're looking at these so-called opportunities to get ahead, or whatever it is that they're carnally minded about. That's all they've got in their mind, and that is bait in a snare. Just like an animal thinking only of what it wants to eat. There are people whose God is their belly. That's all they want is what they can get. And that's why they end up in the snare. They don't think that in the middle of their business transaction, or in the middle of their building a new building, Donald Trump's building one down in Chicago now, the old Sun Times building being demolished. He's putting this big super mega place up there, that monument to his ego, you know. That man toggles between bankruptcy and riches like I've never seen. It's unbelievable. But, you know, that's the power of credits and currencies and financing in our country. Remember what the bankers say, borrow your way to prosperity. Our prosperity. Huh? That's why they have those big facilities. But little do people realize, in fact, they never, because it doesn't cross their mind, that in the middle of this transaction, in the middle of this building, in the middle of this project, all of a sudden there it is, judgment day, and they find themselves in front of the throne of God. Just that fast. A snare. Just that quick. They'll not be able to finish what they started. The day will come. It is upon us. The signs dictate that it is upon us. Two things are certain in these last days. There'll be many signs. And the other thing that is certain is people won't see them. Only those given the gift of discernment from God will see. And we need that because we're fighting a battle. And you need to see what's happening. It is absolutely amazing. Yep, how this comes to pass. Let's go back for a moment. I want to show you something that really arrested my attention. God said, I think this is an appropriate day to do this, as his people, we're going back to Deuteronomy 18 for a few minutes. God told his people, as they were about to enter into the promised land, he gave them a stern warning, didn't he? And chapter 18 starts out by telling about the Levites. They were the priestly tribe, given the cities of refuge and so forth. They were not like the other tribes, but they were the ones to maintain the tabernacle, later on the temple, and so forth. And of course, we know Aaron was of the tribe of Levi, and his family were the family of priests, his sons, and on down through generations. Moses also was of that tribe. But God begins to tell about what's going to happen to them, what he expects of them, and then, moving from those who are to maintain the faith, he says this in verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Don't do what they're doing. Just don't do it. He didn't say, go ahead and Christianize it, or Mosesize it, or whatever you're going to do. He said, don't do it. And then he said, there shall not be. I love the way the Lord asserts this. He just absolutely says, it just isn't going to be. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. And I could tie abortion into that in a moment's time. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times. Divination, you know, the pendulum magic, tell what the baby's going to be, male or female. over a pregnant woman's wrist, you know, that sort of thing, or the tea leaves, or the crystal balls, or any of this kind of stuff. Divination. The word Vatican, by the way, means divination. Vaticanus. The word Vatican means witchcraft. Now think of that. Or an observer of times. There's your astrologers. Or an enchanter. Or a witch. You know, we have some strange enchantments in these days. You know, you have people chanting in churches. You have people chanting in where they're practicing yoga or Hindu religion of any kind. Did you ever hear these people? It's very unnerving, you know. They go on to this Om Namah Shivaya, you know, and Om, 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 until they go into this thing, you know, this stupor. You know how they spell that word Om? A-O-M is the way it's spelled. A-O-M, Om. Who are the three Masonic ruffians in the lodge ritual? J-Bela, J-Belo, J-Belem. A-O-M, the end of each one. What is one of the primary lodges in the world? Lahore, India. They don't put a Bible on their altar, they put a Vetus, but it doesn't matter. Because when they put the Bible on the altar, they just cover it, they bring the person there blindfolded so you can't see it, and then they put tools on top of it so you can't read it anyway. Anyway, so. But God said we will, you know, this is just not going to happen. It will not happen. He went on and he said that there's not to be an enchanter. We got other kinds of enchantments too. You know, you want to hear the weirdest kind of enchantment there is? I'll tell you what it is. It's a rap music. The hypnotic voice roll. And they rhyme all this filth. And it rhymes, and it rhymes, and it rhymes, and it's catchy, and people start moving to it. They start moving with the grooving and reeling with the feeling. Right? Enchantment has been upgraded a little. Now it's this rap music. Or a witch. You mean the Bible talks about witches? Yeah, right here and a whole bunch of other places. Or a charmer. Or a consulter with familiar spirits. Or a wizard. That's a male witch. Or a necromancer. One who communicates with the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination. That means they're detestable. The people become detestable. You see it? For all that do, those doing these things are detestable to God, are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. And every day I'm finding out something new about churches taking in more and more witchcraft. In fact, I'm going to read something to you. I only have a few minutes left, so I have to make good use of this time. But I want to show you something that I ran across, and I'm going to be turning to Jeremiah chapter 44. Oh, incidentally, I found this little picture here, since it's so close to Election Day and I don't endorse anybody. I save all of my heart, soul, and mind for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my King, and nobody can elect Him. Huh? He chooses us. All these people in these churches try to vote on God, you know? You got these ministers. Have you ever been in one of those services? Every head bowed, every eye closed, they'll say. Now, how many of you want to accept the Lord? And every head bowed, every eye closed, they'll tell you. How many have ever seen a service like that, heard that? And these hands go up. And then the pastor says, I see that hand. I see that hand. He's got somebody else with a notebook taking, you know, writing down all the decisions for Christ. See? I see that hand. I see that hand. You know what that's like? That's like out on the beach, you know, if there's somebody out in the water and he gets a cramp and he's going down, boop, 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 you know, and he's sinking down there and the lifeguard's up there and that hand is up there and the lifeguard just sits in the chair and says, I see that hand. Huh? I see that hand. And down he goes. You know, the Lord chooses us. He told us that. He said, ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you. Because man would never choose him. And if they try to scare you into it, or coerce you into it, or entice you into it, that's not salvation. It's the Lord's call to a broken heart. Someone who repents and does an about face and turns away. And John Kerry stands up there, that man who loves to murder babies, voted 6 times for partial birth abortion. And he stands up in front of the Southern Baptist Convention and he speaks out and says, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come." And they all stood up and clapped. "Hey, he's a Christian!" And the place was just a big wave, a big roar of applause as he said a few words from Amazing Grace, and they fell for it. I found this little picture of him. This is a dandy. This is a lollipop here. Here's John Kerry, left hand raised, doing the satanic salute with Bill Clinton's right hand on his left shoulder. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. And he's doing a El Cornuno, satanic salute, with a left hand, which is a sign of malediction. Huh? Oh, yes, that may be your next, not mine, hopefully not yours, but as far as this country is concerned, your next leader. Are there signs? Is anything going on? Here's this. Remember I was telling you about the little chip that's been approved by the FDA now? The Fast Death Administration? Okay? That's what the FDA is, fast death. Now, here we have a little thing. They had to give the FDA the side effects of the chip. It says the potential risks to health associated with the device are adverse tissue reaction, migration of the implanted transponder. It can move around on you. That's why to take it out, you have to make an 8-inch incision. Compromised information security, failure of implanted transponder, failure of inserter, failure of electronic scanner, electromagnetic interference, electrical hazards, magnetic resonance imaging incapability, and needle stick. In other words, they get the needle stuck while they're putting it in and can't get it out without ripping it out. Because if it turns a little, it jams like a fish hook. Isn't that a sweet little deal? And people go for this stuff. But anyway, I'm going to finish with this because I want you to understand that it's unawareness that'll be the demise of so many. How can anybody embrace the things that they're offering to the so-called Christian community? I don't know whether to read this first or the scripture first. I think what I'm going to do is read the scripture first on this. I'm right at that point in time where I need my reading glasses for small font, but I can read my Bible just fine. That's all that counts anyway, I guess. But, so I toggle back and forth between the glasses, reading glasses. But Jeremiah 44, now watch this carefully, just a few verses here. In verse 15, then all the men, now try to really be perceptive as you can, as perceptive as you can be, and I'll point a few things out here. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, "As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee." Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? It's very direct. "But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil." Who are they giving the glory to? Who are they making their sovereign? All right? "But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, they're saying, we tried that, didn't work. We tried repentance, we tried Christianity, didn't work. I guarantee you they never surrendered their hearts. And if they didn't, they might as well try and walk to the moon. Huh? You got to surrender your heart. And to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. That's called being halfway. Never totally surrendered. And when we burned incense, now watch this verse carefully. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and to pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Who's running the show here? These are the women saying, we're going to do it and our men are going to do it too. I took the first bite and Adam got the second one. Right? That there is a rebellion among women, ungodly women, saying, we know what's going on, we run the show. Turn on the radio, you hear these commercials, you know, for insurance or whatever, this or that. It's always, the man doesn't know what to do, and his wife has the answer. The man is a big dummy, and his wife, you know, she's got all the answers to this whole thing. The commercials. But, you know, that could almost be humorous, almost. But this isn't. When you look at these people, and here's something I want to, the reason I took you here, is I want to show you what the Episcopalian Church has done in the United States. They have a new women's Eucharist. A new women's Eucharist. It's actually taken from the rite of Tuatha De Brigid, or Bridget, which is one of the witches, goddesses, a clan of modern druids. This is what goes on here. They gather around, they say, we gather around a low table covered with a woven cloth or shawl, a candle, a bowl or vase of flowers, a large shallow bowl filled with salted water. Now I understand Wicca. That's exactly what this is. A chalice of sweet red wine, a cup of milk mixed with honey, and a plate of raisin cakes are placed on the table. Here's what they say. Now, these are Episcopalians. In the Episcopalian Church, this is the women's Eucharist. Here's what they say. I quote, Mother God, our ancient sisters called you Queen of Heaven and baked these cakes in your honor, in defiance of their brothers and husbands who would not see your feminine face. We offer you these cakes, made with our own hands, filled with the grain of life, scattered and gathered into one loaf, then broken and shared among many. We offer these cakes and enjoy them too. They are rich with the sweetness of fruit, fertile with the ripeness of grain, sweetened with the power of love. May we also be signs of your love and abundance. The plate is then passed, and each woman takes and eats a cake. Now, what did I just read here? And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make cakes? Make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? But there are no signs. I mean, there's nothing, you know. What's wrong, huh? What's wrong with a bunch of women getting together and passing around raisin cakes to the goddess? You know, I don't know where to begin with people like that. I mean, they're worse than the pagans. I would expect it of Selena Fox and Dennis Carpenter. Well, they just, you know, women are superior, so in Wicca, but of all of her maidens and crones and all these others gathered around passing raisin cakes around to the goddess. But I wouldn't expect to see it in an Episcopal church. I guess I've come to the point where now I would have to. And by the way, the Episcopal Church has joined completely, sacramentally, with a Lutheran church. Are the Lutherans going to start passing raisin cakes around to the goddess? The Lord said, two primary things about these last days. And that's why I call this message Fatal Unawareness. He said there would be many signs, but the people would be unaware of his coming. Totally unaware of his coming. The fact is, you may be doing one thing one moment, and it happens so fast as lightning out of the east to the west, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to break through this so-called barrier. And he's going to come not to take away sins. He's already done that. This time he's coming to judge sin. And people may find that Donald Trump, any of these other, I don't know, if they never repent. I'm not putting anybody one place or another. It just doesn't look very good for him and some of these others. But or Ted Turner. Or Maurice Strong. Maurice Strong has, of course, been appointed the president of the University of Peace. And Gorbachev was the head of the Soviet Union. Huh? Where is he today? That Soviet in the Presidio in San Francisco, heading the State of the World Forum, putting together a one world government with the Ark of Hope that all of our leaders bowed down in front of when they presented it? Do you think for one minute John Kerry wouldn't bow in front of that Ark of Hope? Why, he'd be right up there, front line. That's how you get points with an Illuminized populace. So what are we looking at today? Thank God for the signs, but don't be amazed that the ungodly will never see them. And they're being snared. Jesus said as a snare, didn't he? This country has been taken over. People have been occupied in their minds and hearts. It reminds me of an old story that was told about a man down in South Carolina who drove into one of these little South Carolina towns, you know, where the old people are sitting out on the bench in front of the general store. And they're sitting there, and this guy drives in, and he's got a big truck, and he stops and says, "You got any wild boars around here? I heard there's lots of them." They said, "Yeah, out in the woods, but you'll never get them. They're too smart for you. You'll never catch them." He said, "I'm going to go and get me some of them boars." And they all laughed, you know. A week later, he comes back, and he's got a whole truckload of them. Got a cage on his truck, and they're full of these wild boars. And he couldn't believe it. They said, "None of us could even get close enough to them. Can't get in sight of them. How'd you get them?" He says, "Well, I'll tell you what I did." He said, "I went out and took a bunch of corn, bushel of corn, threw it out there, and got out of sight. And they came and, you know, ate it all up. Left." He said, "I came back the next day, and I laid down the bottom of my cage, and I threw some corn on it. I got out of sight, and I came back and gobbled that all up." He said, "I came back the next day, I put one side up on the cage. Threw some corn out there, and they came and they ate it. And I put the end on it the next day, and the next day the other side. The next day I even put the top of the cage on there. Every day they came and they enjoyed that corn so much they kept coming back. Boy, that was good corn. And finally the day came, they went in there after the corn, and I flipped the door shut and I had them." He says, "I can catch anything that'll depend on me for a handout." There he had them. People have taken the bait. They've been snared. What are they saying? "We want care. He's going to give us health care. Cradle to the grave. We have a little baby. They can stick him full of needles with all these shots. Make him into a human voodoo doll. Huh? Shoot all this stuff in. And then as they grow up, we can get them into Head Start and preschool. Give them to the government right away, huh? Get them in Head Start. That's a federal program, right? That'll brainwash them. And then, you know, the preschool thing and a kindergarten and then the various grades. And take them up, let them advance through these grades, and we will turn them into little globalists. They'll think like us. We've got them. We'll provide their books. Rockefeller Foundation?
Ritalin.
Ritalin will keep them drugged up. They're all hyper, you know. So the reason they're hyper is there's evil spirits in there. You got to shoot them up with Ritalin to bring. You got to feed the demons, see, to get them to calm down. And on it goes. And then finally get them up into the university. And then when they go through 4 years of liberal arts, then you can give them the square mortarboard, Masonic mortarboard hat and a robe, and you can graduate them. And then some of them, the special ones, will go on as grad students and get a master's degree and then a PhD. And by that time, they'll be so illuminized, only God could pull them out. And he has done that at times. So bear in mind, when we read the word, and I close with this thought once again reminding you, the signs will be many, but people won't be aware. Strange, isn't it? God help us. Well, let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful, Lord, that thou hast brought us together. That we can look into thy word, that we can be moved by thy word, and understand that it's only by thy spirit that we are preserved, protected, defended. And, O Lord, I pray that thou wouldst keep thy mighty hand upon us in thy mercy and grace. O Lord, to the very time of thy appearing, for it shall come as a snare, help us to be always ready. Let thy people be blessed and strengthened in Jesus' name, and let the devil, the evil one, have no power over us at all. Amen. Hallelujah.